Good morning. You're all so far away. It's good to see you here this morning as we seek to worship God in spirit and in truth. That's what our God commands us, and that's what we enjoy to do. So glad you're here on this Sunday morning as we seek to open God's Word and say together. Appreciate those songs by Ryder. Appreciate him and all he's done, and hope he'll, when he leaves us, he'll come back as often as he can. We'll say more about that, I'm sure, later. Spoilers, I guess. I'd like this morning to talk a little bit about faith. And faith, we're going to talk about is how the Bible defines faith in Hebrews chapter 11. It's a substance and evidence. So faith is not a wish, faith is not a hope, faith is not a fairy tale. It's substance and evidence. Substance is a word in the Greek which means to stand under. It's a word they would use for pillars that upgirded a building. So the idea of that which stands under is faith. But it is substance, it is evidence. Now, we see in chapter 11, verse 6 of Hebrews, that faith is necessary for the child of God. In fact, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And he that comes to God must believe that he is. And he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. That means we serve God with purpose. We serve God with fervor, diligently, and God rewards those that do. It's not a thing that we kind of do. It's something we do diligently, and God rewards that in Scripture. We see in the rest of chapter 11, we see a couple of verses, that faith does things, faith acts. When it comes to Abel offered. When it comes to Noah moved with fear, prepared an ark. That's how he showed his faith. He did. It moved him to act because of the reverence of God, the fear of the Lord. In verse 8, we see Abraham, not knowing where he went, though, he when God said go, he went out. He acted. In John, we see also this very important point. The faith is tied to knowledge. Now, sometimes in our modern world, people think, well, there's faith over here, and there's knowledge over here, and ne'er the twain will ever meet. But the Bible ties faith and knowledge together. In John 10, he says that we are to know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. In 1 Timothy 4:3, when it comes to God and his workings, he says that we are to believe and know the truth. Again, believe the truth and know the truth. So faith and knowledge go together. These aren't things that are fanciful. These things make up the very foundation of what faith is. Not just faith, but also knowledge. 1 John 5:13, John puts it like this. These things have I written unto you that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. What's John do? He ties faith and knowledge together. Right? That's faith. Faith and knowledge are close relatives. They're not the same thing, but they are tied very closely together. Now, in fact, the Gospel of John, by the way, if you want to go, we're not going to really be in John this morning, but the Gospel of John never once uses faith in the noun form. Every time the Gospel of John talks about faith, it's always in the verb form. To do a thing, to believe a thing. Not just to have faith, but to do faith. John writes that way exclusively in his gospel. Now, I want to talk to you about threefold faith this morning. And the preacher who always lies says it's not going to be a long sermon, but that's what I'm going to try and do for you this morning. But faith is a very fundamental concept when it comes to God and his word. But I want to give you a threefold faith. Number one, we have to have faith in ourselves. This is what the Bible teaches. Remember, the one talent man in Matthew 25 was someone who because he was fearful, did not do what he should have with the talent God gave him. He said, I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, here's what is yours. Now, that ended badly for him because he was cast out. Because he did not do with what he should have with what God gave him. He said, at least you should have put it to usury or interest or lend it out, but you didn't even do that. You just did nothing with it because he was afraid, did not believe in himself to do what God wanted him to do. So we had to believe in ourselves. In fact, in Philippians 4:13, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So faith in ourself is necessary. Abraham went out when God said go. Sometimes the problem is we don't get things done in the church because we doubt ourselves. The fact is, God's word's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. So that's our tool, that's our weapon. It's God's word. It's not just us, it's what God says. That's powerful, it's very important. And so we have to have faith in ourselves. Number two, that was very quick, wasn't it? Number two is that to have faith in others. Now, this is important for the Christian life to prosper. Now, it may be that someone can go to heaven without ever having a friend in the world that's a child of God that they can have trust in. That's fine. But we're here this morning as a group, as God's people, so we share things together. We know each other. We encourage by each other. Now, when it came to this faith, Paul talked about someone named Timothy. He says, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. In Timothy, Paul found someone he could trust to do what God would have him to do. Now, Timothy was not perfect, but he was a man of God. Now, none of us here are flawless. All of us here have defects and things that aren't quite what God wants, but we're working on those things. And while we're not perfect, we can have faith in each other to do what God wants. We need to be able to trust and be encouraged by each other. That's a very important part of being a Christian. Having faith in God, part of that means being encouraged by each other. Being able to lean on each other. Being able to call on each other to be encouraged or to encourage other people. Are you the kind of person, are you the kind of Timothy that Paul could call in and say, listen, I'm not perfect, but I'm going to serve God. I'm going to make mistakes, but I'm going to serve God. My life isn't perfect. My life, I'm sure I could be more than I am, but what I have, I'm going to serve the God of heaven. And I'm going to serve him with you and you with me. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 and 10, it's a great scripture about friendship and being able to trust in somebody else. He says, two are better than one, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falls, for he hath not another to help him up. The idea of friendship and having someone you can lean on, trust on, someone who's going to look after you, and you're going to, the idea of being your brother's keeper, for example, is something, it's very powerful. Because when you fall, and you and I will stumble. If we have people that love us and know us and brothers in Christ who we can have some kind of relationship with, they help us get up when we've fallen. We all need that. And Peter talks about the idea of brotherly kindness or brotherly love. This word phileo in the Greek, where the city of Philadelphia is named after this idea, this word. Brotherly kindness, brotherly love. Peter says, you got to have that. You got to have this idea of love between brothers and sisters in Christ. In fact, going on in the text, he says, if these things be in you and abound, then make you that you shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of God. He goes on to say this. He says, but he that lacks these things is blind and can't see afar off. He goes, if you have these things, including brotherly love, you will abound. You'll be fruitful in the kingdom. But if you don't have these things, you're blind and can't see afar off. What comes next? That's the second thing. The third thing about faith, we have faith in self. We have some faith in others, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Others, servants of God. And third, we have faith in God and His Word. Now, we have faith in God's commandments, things like Acts chapter 17, verse 30, that God tells us to repent. That means there's something outside of us that's bigger. There's more than my moral code. There's God's moral code. And He says, live by that code and you need to repent of your sins. God commands all men to repent. Or we see next to 38, to repent and then be baptized. So not only should I turn away from my way of doing things, well, when I turn to God's way of doing things, that means I follow His word and I'm baptized into Christ for remission sins. And remember, in Ephesians 4:4-5, He says there is one baptism. Now, in the world, there are many kinds of baptism. In fact, in Acts 19, you have some that are baptized by John's baptism after Jesus Christ was resurrected, and they were told that to be baptized again in the name of Christ. So all baptisms are not the same baptism. There's one baptism today that's baptism in Jesus Christ for remission of our sins, be added to the body of Christ, be added to the church. Just one. Sometimes people are baptized inappropriately and then be baptized with a proper knowledge, understanding what God wants us to do. That's a very important part of Scripture, and it's talked about in Acts 19. Now, having faith in God and God's commands, God's word, also means that we are going to assemble and come together. Not as a manner of some is to forsake the assembling, but exhorting one another. This idea of having faith in others, to exhort one another. Because you all need encouragement, don't we? Now the fact is, you being here this morning encourages me. And I hope by being here, you're encouraged by me and the others here. Maybe seeing a friend you don't see every day. You're here and you see a friend you've seen for years, but you're glad they're here and you're encouraged by their presence. Maybe you're encouraged, I hope, by the worship, the singing, the prayers. We had a good prayer this morning. We'll have another one, I'm sure. Hopefully the sermon will inspire us in some way to take God's word and apply it to us. Not because of the preacher. I'm very fallible, but the power of the word of God can affect our lives for the good. The preacher, he's just kind of the sack that feeds poured through. He's not really all that much. He's someone who gives a word to us. We sometimes put too much emphasis on the preacher. The preacher is just a sack where the feed's given to us. The power is in the feed, not the sack. The power is in the word. Now, Philippians 2 says also this word of God tells us to work. He says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation, he says, not someone else's. I can't do your salvation. You do that, but you do it seriously. The fear and trembling here doesn't mean, it's not the idea of, oh, I'm trembling to death, but it means, listen, take your salvation seriously. Take God seriously. When it comes to your relationship with God, take that relationship seriously, because it's eternal in nature. So work, God says. He commands us to work our salvation. Also, believe in God's promises. Let's camp on this for a little bit. He says, for the promises unto you. He just talked about repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Verse 39 says, for the promises unto you. Believe God's promises. Now, when it comes to 2 Peter, he says, you've received some exceeding great and precious promises. By these you might be partakers of the divine nature, not your nature, the divine nature. Why? By the promises of God, these precious promises. So part of faith is believing in God's promises. And part of this is believing in the power of God's word. In Isaiah 55, verse 11, God says, my word goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void. It shall not return to me void. But it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing where I send it. This word accomplish is simply the Hebrew word for do. Not a very big word. Very small word. The word do. My word's going to do it. My word does something. Well, I thought the word was just on a page. Very inanimate. Doesn't, no, God says, my word does something. Like all the sin in the world, all the temptation, all the bad things, the influence of the bad, the word also does something. Well, the word's dead. No, the word's powerful. It's quick. It's powerful. It does something, Isaiah says. Also, the other word that's highlighted, the word prosper. That word means to come with power to show progress. So one thing the word of God does with us, it's powerful and shows progress in where it's applied. Now, the same word is a word used in Judges 14, verse 6 by Samson, where it says, the word of God came mightily upon him. That's the same word, prosper, in the Hebrew. The word used in Isaiah is prosper. In this account, remember, he talks about how he tore a lion. In other words, he manhandled a lion, defeated a lion, like he would handle a small sheep, a lamb. How? Well, this same word, this word, again, this isn't talking about the word of God, but it's talking about the same word, prosper, meaning it gave him great power by being able to tear the lion. The same word is what God uses for the word, how it applies to our lives. The word of God does something. In Joshua 1:8, talking about the power of the word, he says, hey, you meditate on the word. You think about it. You apply it to your life. You also observe to do according to all that is written herein. For then you may make thy way prosperous. So how am I prosperous? I apply the word to my life. This is the same word, this word prosperous, that Isaiah uses. It does a thing powerfully. That's a word. It does a thing powerfully. So if I want to have the word of God in my life powerfully, I observe it, I think about it, I apply it to my life. That's how it actually is very powerful. It makes me prosperous in God's eyes. Other commands of God, we think of God's word as giving us priority. Faith is about priority. To seek God's kingdom first. Again, this verse doesn't say, seek the kingdom. It says, seek the kingdom first. That word is a word that we get our word priority from, which means the first thing is priority. You've heard me say before, but I think it's very important to underline that there is no, the word priority means to make first. We in English took that word and applied to it a plurality. We have priorities. But the original definition of the word in English means one thing. We have priority. Now, it's become applied, it's changed in our language to meaning many things we make first. But how many things can you have? How many things can you make first? I'm not a mathematician, but one thing comes first. We don't have priorities, we have priority, one thing. That's what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Or Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Think about what Jesus says here, this command of God, this promise of God. That we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. So, for a child of God, everything works out. If we follow God's purpose, if we're called by God's purpose, being called by God's meaning we're called by the gospel, Paul says in 1 and 2 Thessalonians. So, we're called by the gospel, but here we see that everything works out for the good if we follow God. Everything works out. God's promise, everything in your life works out for the best if you trust and follow God. That's an amazing promise. Let's put that to the test. Let's really make that thing and unfold it, unpack it in our lives and see how it works out. Because God promises everything in your life, even though it may seem unpleasant or bad at the time, will eventually work out for God's purpose. If the worst things happen to you, they can happen. I got to tell you, my heart's heavy today. because of the shooting in North Texas and Allen. Now, it's more heavy to me because kids were killed. And there are pictures online of it. And Keith Allen was dumb enough to see the pictures. It was on Twitter, so I looked at it. And showed the shooter dead. And he had yelled out that he wanted to kill all white people. Yeah, it was the black gunman and white victims, white children. He mentioned he wanted justice for something that happened. So he started shooting people at the mall up there. I know this all often sparks a more reason to talk about gun control, and I guess there are laws that can be helpful, but the fact is, what kills people? The heart of man. By a bomb, by a knife, by a gun, by a noose, by a tight pulled cord around someone's neck. It's the heart of man that advises murder. My heart's heavy. And as hard as it may be to think about, what good can come from that? What good can come from that possible? How can that be good? Well, I know that those people, those kids especially, they're in heaven right now. They're in glory. The young ones, they're in glory. The adults, I hope the adults that died, I hope they were Christians. I hope they were faithful Christians. I hope that. But even when it comes to someone's tragic death, what good can come from that? Solomon wrote long ago, it's better to go to the house of sorrow than the heart of mirth, than a house of mirth. Why? Because in the house of sorrow, he says, someone can take that and see that their days are numbered. And they can number their days. Number their days. And say, you know, I'm not going to be here forever. One day my body will fail or I will die a different death, but we will all one day cease. And so what comes next? Glory. Streets of gold. The Son of God, who allowed the whole place with his presence. So even good can come from bad things. What about John 5, 28, 29, that talks about the idea that one day there will be a resurrection. Some will have the resurrection of life, and some will have the resurrection of damnation. You want the former, not the latter. But all will one day be resurrected. All will one day be resurrected. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 talks about those that are dead in Christ shall rise first. So those that are dead in Christ, those who have been baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:27 says we're baptized into Christ. Those who are baptized into Christ, in Christ will rise first. You'll have that resurrection and life and meet Christ in the air, it says. That's important. So we talk about faith. Faith in self. Faith in others, faith in God and his promises. Even the tough things that, even the bad things, and if we trust in God, we can cause us to be blessed in him, lead to good things. But I want to wrap this up in this way. When I think about faith, I think about keys. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in a prison. I have. Not because of my own problems, but I wanted to visit other people. I've been in prison a couple times, jail a couple times, to encourage other Christians that made bad choices. And a preacher one time was asked about his prison work. And if you ever felt weird about being in a prison, I never had a prison work. I never lived in a place that had a local prison. but to have friends who have done this work. And one was asked, how do you feel about going into a prison? You're inside those gates and all those high fences and bars. And he said, well, when I go into prison, I feel pretty good about it. Because the man I'm walking along with, you see, he has the keys. So I'm in there with the guards, and they're taking me back to the place where I can work with the prisoners, and I can talk and teach them and maybe have a worship service with them. He goes, you know, I feel good because I'm with a man who has the keys. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. Because in Revelation 1:18, he has the keys of hell and death. Now, this is the thing. Jesus has the keys to get in. He has the keys to get out. He has the keys that allows one to be out and free from these things. Just like the man in the prison guard has the keys to let someone out of prison. Well, I guess the idea is we can choose ourselves to go to hell and death. But he has the keys to free us from these things. That's faith. Threefold faith. Faith in yourself. Faith in others to have that relationship with the brothers and sisters in Christ. And faith in God and his commands and his promises that are the keys to lead us out of hell and death. To have a home in God, with God forever in heaven. So faith is just keys, but these keys are important. And as we saw in Joshua's words and with Isaiah's words, that this faith is very powerful. It will cause us to prosper. It comes with force in our lives, has force in our lives to bring power if we will meditate and observe these things. I hope and pray that's you today. I hope you today take these keys of God and apply them to your life to have a better life right now and also, of course, in heaven forever. That's where it really counts. This life is but a vapor, James says, but heaven is forever. Can you wrap your mind around forever? I can't, but it's coming. It's coming. And are you prepared? Do you have the keys to serve God, to follow God's commands, so you can have a home with God forever? I hope you do. Friends, if you have a need this morning to respond to this invitation in any way, do you have the keys? Are you walking with the one that has the keys? That's Jesus Christ. If you want to respond to the invitation this morning and obey the gospel, or you want to come and ask for the prayers of the church, or you want to come and be restored, let us pray with you and for you. Let us have this faith together that we can trust in each other and come together and love God and his word and love each other and show our love for each other by respecting God together. If you have a need, would you please come this morning as we stand and sing this hymn?